Blog Talk Radio.
Nah, I think that's going to have him on here now. All right. Caller from 205, you're on live with the Black Channel. I think they may have gotten disconnected or something. Caller from 615, you're on live. I think I'm hearing them, but I'm not sure if they're hearing me or not. Although it could be our usual white supremacist problem again. I'm probably going to have to leave them alone for a little while there because I'm not really sure what was going on with that.
I'm sorry, Jason. I was trying to listen. Hello?
In there. He sings, he dances. Oh, he was just letting you know, man, I am with the program. He's letting you know. He was letting you know, I got out and I ain't never giving this up. That's when he was letting you know that the rest of you, all the rest of you, are subject to white supremacy. Not me. Not me. I don't have to worry about that. You all got to worry about that. I don't have to worry about it. That's not my problem. That's not my problem. You all have to worry about racism now. Don't you see all these people out here congratulate me and pat me on the back and telling me how great I run and buck dance up and down this field for them? Don't you know I'm in? Don't you know that I am in? I ain't worried about a damn thing. The rest of you have to worry about that. And then in the absolute most disgraceful thing that you've seen, did you hear how he declared war on the young people? And then wants to sit up here and how? Will someone explain to me how in the hell you think you're going to sit up here and talk garbage to young folk? And then sit up here and talk to them like you gonna call shots to them. Let me tell you something, Ray Lewis, you coon. What have you done for the young black people in Baltimore that they would listen to you? What have you built for them, Ray Lewis, that they would listen to you? What have you done? Charles Barkley, Stephen A. Smith, what have you done for these young people that would make any of them listen or obey anything you got to say? They don't owe you anything because you've done nothing for them. You went to the NFL, you buck danced, you kicked, you screamed, you yahooed, you booed like a hoe when they put you on child support with your umpteen kids. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to throw that out there either, by the way. I'm not supposed to throw that out there. I'm not supposed to talk about the kids, am I? Okay. Let me leave all your kids out of this, Ray. Bastard baby-making, barroom fight-having, stabbing, super buck, Ray Lewis. But he wants to come among young black people that he has done nothing for. Let me go a little bit further here. Ray Lewis, you owe the young black people of Baltimore. You owe them. They don't owe you a damn thing. They don't owe you a damn thing, you gridiron gorilla. They don't owe you anything. You owe them. They bought your jerseys. You didn't buy theirs. They paid your salary. You didn't pay theirs. They made you a household name. You didn't make them a household name. They benefited and elevated your lifestyle. You did, all you did was take from them. You gave nothing. You've given nothing. You built nothing. You owe the young people of Baltimore. They owe you not a damn thing. Not a damn thing. I think I see a familiar face here. Is this Mona Lachey?
Black sir.
Okay, well, I guess you can hear me then. Well, I guess you've been hearing here today. Perhaps we should go ahead and see if we can do a spanking of the young black folk in Baltimore so that they'll listen to their good uncle Ray Lewis, who's done nothing for them. What do you think?
You know, as I was listening to you, Jason, and he's saying that the young kids are out here dictating what they are going to do. They're doing it because the elders didn't do anything. And you're absolutely correct. They don't owe him anything. He owes them something. He banged on his people. He was loud. He was obnoxious. He was putting his fist in his hand and screaming. Yeah, that wasn't for black people. That was for white people. That was for his master. Go ahead.
I think that somebody got a hold of Ray Lewis and they told him, you better go out there and say something. And it better be forceful and it better be direct. And I think that Ray Lewis has spent so much of his life taking orders from rich, white, racist people, that at this point in his life, it's just a reflex now. It's just reflexive.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I want to talk about the cheater, Pastor Jamal Bryant, standing next to Stephanie Blake. He's a cheater, and he needs to change the name of his church, the Black Empowerment Temple, because he is not empowering anybody but himself. And we have all these people up here, you know, just leading us in the wrong direction. And you're absolutely correct, Jason. You know, where once people were blind, they are seeing what's going on. Well, we have the people in corporate America, you know, white supremacists and the black people that accomplished them, that are in corporate America that are not saying anything, turning a blind eye because they don't want to lose their job. We have people in Baltimore, they see what's going on and they're not going to take it anymore. Whenever you set up an atmosphere or an environment of poverty and no opportunity, what do you expect the people to do but to become violent? Freddie Gray, 80% of his spine was shattered. His voice box was crashed. His freaking neck was damn near severed. And they're talking about CVS, burning down CVS. They had those places, they had those cameras in place because they knew they were going to allow CVS to get burned down because CVS has insurance. But nobody wants to talk about how Freddie Gray's parents had to take that insurance money and go buy a cemetery plot and a casket for their child.
You know, we talk about slavery, and you all need to call it what it is, chattel slavery, because you were seen as livestock, you were seen as a piece of property, and that meant that your life had a dollar value on it. And that is why these people can take a look at a dead black man on their left and a broken window at a store on their right and put a higher value, at least in their minds, a higher value on a window or a store than they do a dead black person. These people are white supremacists and their flunkies and lackeys and black coons who follow them, letting you know that in their minds, black lives are worth less than a store. You are worth less than a car. You are worth less. And they're letting you know in 2015 that their attitude toward the value of black life is no different than it was in 1815. That's what they're trying to tell you with these subtle little digs, not even subtle, these overt statements that, but look at our store, but there's a dead man over here. Yeah, 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 well, we're over that. Look at my store. Look at the store over here. If you want the rioting to stop in Baltimore, go arrest the six killers. You can arrest hundreds of protesters. Why are you not arresting the six killers? Because if it had been a black man who broke a cop's spine, they wouldn't want to hear what the story was. He would already be in jail. So why is it that the six police are not there already? They should already be there. Plain and simple. They should already be there. But they're not. And that's why these people are letting you know. They know the psychological programming they're trying to do. They understand what they're doing, and that's why I warned you all. I warned you years ago that as the white population goes falling back down towards that 50% mark, the viciousness will escalate back to what they were doing in 1805 and 1820 and 1840 and 1850 and 1860 and so on. The viciousness and the barbarism are going to start cranking up now. And statements that you heard from Chief Justice Roger Taney that the black man has no rights, that the white man is obligated to respect, you are going to start hearing those. You're starting to hear those things again today. First, it's the local police departments and city council. Eventually, it will be your federal government doing it. And I wonder how much buck dancing Ray Lewis will be doing then. But to be totally honest, Ray Lewis today would put on a dress and do whatever white overlords tell him to do. Stephanie Rawlings Blake, as I explained before, that woman is ready to hike up her skirt for whatever white benefactor comes her way. You want to talk about the real life Olivia Pope. She is Olivia Pope without the high IQ. She's Olivia Pope if Olivia Pope were put into a prominent position but were a brain-dead idiot. That's Stephanie Rawlings Blake. She's a sock puppet. But then again, that's all they wanted. Just somebody who would do their bidding. Now that I think we got the phone straightened out here, let me see if I can get caller from 205. You've been waiting for a little while. Welcome to the Black Channel. One of these is on for that. Get 910. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes, hello?
Yes, what's your name?
Hello?
Where are you calling from?
Oh, yeah. This is Sam Pitt from North Carolina.
Okay, what's that name again?
Sam Pitt, North Carolina.
Sam Pitt, North Carolina. What's on your mind?
Basically the same thing as you guys. Mind blowing. What's going on? Just looking at black people, you wouldn't know that the kind of turmoil that's going on in Detroit right now. Same thing when Ferguson was happening. I got people asking me, who you got? Pacquiao or Floyd Mayweather? I'm looking at them like I just saw a ghost. Like, I got none. I got Freddie Gray. You know what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it takes very little to get black people distracted, to get them off a issue, if they were ever even on one. They don't care. Nobody cares.
Well, until they show up,
I just don't know.
Then everybody gets concerned. Now, once the lights show up for them, then all of a sudden they want everybody to get on point and everybody to come running to the rescue. The time to protect yourself from being a Freddie Gray is when you saw the last Freddie Gray happening. If you had raised enough hell when Freddie Gray got killed by the police, that is what stops the police from thinking they can just kill you and walk home. That's what prevents that from happening. But when you sit there and the police kill one of your people and then they see y'all all start butt dancing, that's it. They don't need to see anything else. They're done. Thank you very much for giving us a call here. Let me get caller from 615. You're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 615, last try. You're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 615 is probably playing with his Xbox. Caller from 409, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes, hello?
Yes, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Jacor Hinton from Port Arthur, Texas.
Okay, and what's on your mind, brother?
Same as you guys, the Freddie Gray issue and all that stuff, man. I seen the news earlier and I couldn't watch it for more than 5 minutes. I seen a gay guy on there leading a drill team or something like that. Like, I don't know. They were dancing in the street. He was talking to another gay guy. It was just like a whole bunch of just bull crap. Just bull crap out there, man. And I don't know who's organizing who out there. I don't know who's out there, man. But they just lost, man.
Police are out here killing us in the street. And we worrying about the prancing elite and everything else. We are desperate to try to distract ourselves. And that is what you and I have to take task against. The Black folk who are happy to hold us on this plantation, we got to take task against them. We have to. We have to. Because this boy is out there throwing rocks at the white supremacists. He is fighting white supremacy in the street face to face, and here comes his mama to literally stand in the way of the rock. Literally. I'll take a rock for you. I mean, she's literally jumping in the way. Ray Lewis is literally jumping in the way of us getting at the throat of white supremacy. He's literally doing it. Let me tell y'all something. Have you all seen any of the white supremacists and racists out there as animated as Ray Lewis was in that video? Go turn on Fox and look at Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, your usual suspects of white bigots. Do you see any of them as upset and animated and jumping up and down and everything else that Ray Lewis was doing? Did you see them as excited about the burning down the CVS as he was? Did you see any of them as upset about it? Ray Lewis was more upset than they are.
He's a clown.
And Malcolm X told us about this decades ago, so just in case you all think this was new, it's not new. Ray Lewis was doing what they always do. The house niggas always, boss, we sick, our house, our store, our yard, our work, okay? Okay, it's not our work. I'm the only one working. Okay, but everything else is ours, right? All right, I'm good.
Pathetic. It's pathetic, man. Disgusting to watch.
Y'all remember how Michael Jackson put, like, bags over his kids' heads? Put, like, little masks on them so people couldn't see them? I wouldn't blame Ray Lewis's children for doing the same thing right now. If I were Ray Lewis's kids, I wouldn't blame any of them for walking around with a mask on. I wouldn't. How could I? If I were them, I'd be so embarrassed and so humiliated. I don't see how you can brag about that being your father.
Just cones. And they everywhere. Just everywhere, man. Everywhere you turn around.
Stephanie Rawlings Blake's political career is essentially over. It's essentially over. But look how cheap a suicide bomber came for them. She's essentially a suicide bomber. And look how cheap she came. They're not going to do a damn thing for her when she leaves office. We all saw what they did to Kwame Kilpatrick. Kwame Kilpatrick did the white supremacist bidding, and what did they do to him? They put him in jail before his term was even over. Stephanie Rawlings Blake is doing their bidding, and don't be surprised if she marches out of the city hall in handcuffs. Quote me on that. Quote me on that. I'm one of these Negroes think they can buck dance and play the game. And don't worry, the white person behind me will protect me if things go bad and they find out the hard way what the hell happened. So her political career is essentially over. She thinks they're going to protect her and take care of her after she's out of office because she was good and loyal. She doesn't understand, baby, you are a toilet tissue. You are here to be used and discarded once your usefulness is over. And she don't get that.
I just can't wait till they all have that good dose of reality. I just can't wait to see it. I just cannot wait till they all just get that. Because they need it. And all of us, we need to see it. For anybody who's on the fence about anything that you're saying or that we're discussing, they need to see that. They need to see it go down how it's supposed to, how white supremacy has planned it for years and years and years.
Thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight, and definitely I think we'll all be watching when the chips come down for her. Let me get caller from
202. You're on time. Thank you.
What's going on, Jacob? What's going on, Jacob? Back first, brother.
All right, if you're on speaker, you can get closer to your phone or take you off the speaker.
Okay. What's going on, Jason? Back first, brother. It's LeVar calling from Maryland, a.k.a. Caller Muhammad on Facebook.
Okay. Brother, in a car or something, and you're traveling down the road, and I'm not really sure what's happening there, but we can't make out what you're saying. Let me give you a few moments here. I'll see if you can take the speaker, and we'll see if that helps. I don't know if he's calling from an airplane or what the case may be, but we'll see if we can just come back to that here. Let me get caller from 773. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes. What up? What's up, Jason? This is Jalen calling from Chicago. Well, I'm in Champaign right now at school. So let me tell you how my day started.
Get a little bit closer to your phone so we can hear you. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Okay, can you hear me better?
Okay, what's your name, where you're calling from?
This is Jalen. I'm calling from Champaign. I'm in school right now. So let me tell you how my day started. So I go in my Afro class, and I see a black student and, like, the assistant teacher, they dancing and shit. I'm looking like you said yesterday, like, you would never know if something is going on, how the way people are acting. Like, I'm looking like, why the fuck are y'all dancing and shit for? Then, like, when the class started, the teacher came in. He's from the civil rights generation. He marched with King, and he keeps pushing this narrative. He believes that if we focus on, like, pushing the whole we're all human beings narrative, oh, every human being came from Africa, then maybe all of this would stop. That's his whole narrative. I'd be in the classroom just shaking my head, like, really?
Yeah. I mean, he's letting you know he ain't fighting nothing. He's got his little job position. I'm going to tell you about these Negroes with their job positions, by the way. This is why you got so many black folk out here cooning. Ray Lewis, NFL player, little old title. Wendell Pierce, actor, little old title. Lee Daniels, producer, little old title. Your academics, that's one thing that was left off of my meme here today. That was one thing that was left off of my meme today that I put up today. When I said that you can't trust the clergy, they're owned by white supremacy. You can't trust your parents, they're owned by white supremacy. You can't trust the politicians, they're owned by white supremacy. You can't trust the academics. They're owned by white supremacy, too. You all heard when I was talking to Sheena Howard. As soon as we got on the subject of white supremacy, Miss, I tell it like it is, and I'm blatant in your face. Oh, she'll talk about homosexuality and homophobia all day. But as soon as we say white supremacy, all of a sudden, boy, you saw the cowardice jump up in her eyes. She ain't got a crossword to say about that. Now, the rest of us? Oh, she can say plenty. About them, she clammed up. She let you know who backs her. She lets you know who she's counting on. She's not going to bite the hand that feeds her. So just understand that was what you witnessed today. They were letting you know we are not going. You're not going to sit up here and mess up this good thing I got going.
Right. Also, like another thing, it was like a couple of weeks ago. Like a student, like rose, you know, asked the professor a question. I don't know, like the student he asked. I don't know why the hell he asked was J. Edgar Hoover black. Then, like, you know, of course the professor, he asked or whatever. Then, but he kind of, like, answered, like, a politically correct way or something like that. He avoided saying that J. Edgar Hoover was, like, the enemy towards black people. So, like, after the class, I went up to the brother, like, look here, man. J. Edgar Hoover was the enemy towards black people, man. I just told him straight up, since the teacher didn't want to say it.
You watch these people, and they let you know who their masters are by who they refuse to speak against. When you are talking out against racism more than he is, he's letting you know, hey, the racists are the ones I depend on. I'm not going to do anything to them. Brother, this is it. It's over for him. You know why? Let me tell you the real reason why, Jalen, why it's over for him and his kind. The real reason why it's over for him and his kind, brother, is because they didn't build a damn thing. So at this point in his life, he is dependent on those people. They didn't build a damn thing. So he's gotten to this point in his life where he needs them. He hasn't built anything. He has nothing independently on his own. He is dependent on them for his retirement because he has not seen to it. And he didn't get together with other black men, and they didn't build an economy so that they could have their own independent retirement program. So they got to depend on these people. There is no plan B for him, brother. He's, what, in his 60s now? There's no plan B. This is it. This is it. So you're at the beginning of your working life. You have the opportunity to build some wealth and assets for yourself. Him, he missed the boat, or should I say the train. I guess he missed the boat, so he caught the coon train. He missed the boat, so he caught the coon train. So, brother, he's not going to do that. He lost. He missed it. He is out of the most important and precious commodity of all. Not gold, not silver, not diamond. Time. He's out of time. So this is plan B. This is plan B. He's not going to let you talk him into nothing that's going to mess that up because he didn't prepare. Now he has to be a slave. That's where he's at now. I'll let you have the last word.
Well, all right. I'm just going to say black first. And, like, man, like these events that's been going on is definitely showing me, like, whose side that people are on, that black people are on. It's just crazy to me. This whole bunch of this crazy shit. I'm just, like, shocked. Kind of not really shocked, just like wowed a little bit. That's it.
No, thank you very much for giving us the call. We are at war is what it is. And war is a peculiar thing because in war, when you meet somebody, it's you're with us or you're with them. And if you're not with us, you're my enemy and I got to deal with you. So you find out in war which side a person is more afraid of. Not the one that they have the most allegiance to. That's usually what you look for, but that actually doesn't happen most. You usually just find out which side that person is most afraid of. If they're more afraid of the enemy or if they're more afraid of you. And these people are letting y'all know who they're more afraid of. So that's why they're doing it. War exposes your cowards, your liars, your con men, your frauds, your bedwinches, your whores. You're immoral, you're spineless, you're unprincipled. It exposes all of them. It exposes all of them. Not some, all of them. They're going to let you know real quick that this is their last leg they're standing on. You are not going to put them in bad with white daddy. Let me see if we can try this again here. See if we can grab caller from 813. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Black first, Jason. This is Jason Reed calling from Florida. How you doing, brother?
What's on your mind, brother? You've seen it all as it unfolds today?
I've seen all of it unfold the last few days, and, you know, this riot, it cut the grass, and, boy, you see all the snakes, all the turncoat, everything, all the coons, all the suspect coons. We know who the white supremacists are. We already knew that. But it showed you all who all the coons were, who all the agents were, who all the bed winchers were. They have all come out in full force. Fox News, MSNBC, CNN was scrambling to find coons all over the place. And, you know, I only saw one legit brother that actually said something and held Wolf Blitzer the task that you posted. That's the only brother I've seen, you know, that kept the focus on, you know, the cause of the riots, which is police brutality, while everyone else was trying to deflect. So, you know, it's been eye-opening. People, family will turn on you. I've had family straight snitching on me. My mother is not on Facebook. My mother's not on Twitter. But I got a phone call from my mother telling me about trying to chew me out about what I've been posting on Facebook. Worried about what I'm posting. So I'm like, oh, so I got some people in the family running back. But my mom knows how I feel. She's nervous. But I'm like, I can take care of myself. So, you know, it's absolutely.
Like that. It's been a bunch of people who have contacted me talking about their family. I mean, these Negroes don't even live in Baltimore.
Right.
Don't even live there. What are you worried about? You don't even live there. What are you talking about? Nobody's coming here for you. But remember what I told y'all after Ferguson. Because we started seeing this then. Tom, I articulated for you all after Ferguson. That black people are so beaten down and coonish that they're institutionalized. That they're behaving as if they're on a plantation even though they know they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They're behaving as if they have a white supremacist watching them over their shoulder day and night. Even though we know there isn't one. It's not superstition. That's just what happens when you give up. And these are individuals who've given up. And you're going to find them in your own family. Folk who before now, oh, they were talking like they were all black and militant. The tanks showed up and all of a sudden ain't no militants. Ain't no black folk will even say white supremacy. Now the tanks are showing up. Now, 5 years ago, I bet you half them relatives you're talking about, they were telling you about how they was fighting during the 60s. And, boy, they was fighting white supremacy back then. Boy, we was tearing it up. We wasn't letting them push us around. Now, fast forward to 2015, and they think there's a chance these folks will show up at their door. Negro lives in Sacramento talking about, y'all stop making trouble in Baltimore. I thought you was fighting these folks back in the 60s. I thought that's what you was doing. So, brother, you're finding out that you got liars in your family. And you know what? It's good. It's good. I don't care if it's your mama. You need to be aware who they are because these are the people that you need to keep away from your kids and everything else. They're not going to stand by you. They were okay until 2015 when the tanks showed up. They were okay right until then, which tells you they've been lying to you the whole time. And that's why I want this to go the way it is. We got a lot of folk out here who are just liars. Liars, cowards, coons, and that's why they're doing this. They will do anything and everything to save their own hide. And I'm sitting out here looking at these babies. At what point do we give them a better future than the one we had? At what point do we give them a better tomorrow than we had? When does that happen in black society? Because when somebody tells you that these folk are out here killing us, and you say, well, let's pray about it, you're saying, well, hey, who gives a damn what happens to the kids? Hey, it's just God's will, kids. You struck out. Oh, well. No, forget that. Those are the words of cowards. And I don't even have any kids. But I want to be able to look them in the eye. I don't want this moment that your relatives are having, Jason. They're having a moment right now where you, the nephew, the cousin, the son, cannot look at them with respect. And I would rather die a million deaths like Freddie Gray than to live one life without the respect of my children. No, not their respect. I don't want my children's respect. I want what every man wants. I want my children's reverence. I want them to be I don't want them to just be able to look at me. That's respect, is when somebody looks at you. I want them to be able to look up to me. I want them to say that, man, I don't know if I can be the man he was. He set such an example. I don't know if I can reach that. But I feel obligated to, because I don't. I can think of nothing finer. And you're lost.
Yeah, they are, you know, it's coming, and it's coming, and it's coming at me in waves, and I'm like, I'm not wavering. I'm not changing what I'm saying. I'm going to keep saying what I'm saying. I'm going to keep beating this drum, because I have a five-year-old that is sitting there that has to grow up in this world, and I'd be damned if I walk around here fretting when he's a teenager every time he goes out the door. I can't do that. I can't live like that. I refuse to live like that.
Your great-granddaddy lived like that. Your granddaddy lived like that. Your daddy lived like that. You live like that. And now you're looking at this, your son, before he's even walked out the door. Now, you know you need to be watched around with white supremacists out there. I mean, I was watching a documentary yesterday. Thank you very much for reminding me of that. I was watching a documentary yesterday, I want to say it was. And I want to say the name of the documentary was The Last Nazi. That's what I want to say it is. And I think you can find it on Netflix, as a matter of fact. I want to say it's called The Last Nazi. And it starts off with the guy who he's in charge of basically the Nazi hunter group in Israel. And it starts off with the documentary with him saying, it's really a shame that I even have to do this. It's a shame that these people are still even out here. He said that this should have all been taken care of long before I was born. It's a shame that I have to do this. But I have to do it. Brother, it's a damn shame that the police are still out here 150 years after emancipation, 150 years after so-called liberation, and we are still saying the same thing. Don't go out after dark. The white folks might be out there. That's what your great-great-granddaddy said, your great-granddaddy, your granddaddy, your daddy, mm-hmm. You. 5-6 generations later, we are still telling our sons, be careful, them there white folks is outside. You best watch where you go. Watch what you say. Watch what you do. And at what point do you have a generation that does a King Leonidas? I'm so damn ashamed I have to say that, because black men have not given us enough Shaka Zulu. They haven't given us enough. They haven't given us enough Ramses II in our modern era. We haven't had enough of them. At what point do black men say this far and no farther? You cannot have my son. At what point do we say that? That you can't have my son. You can try to take me, but you are not going to get my child. You're not going to get him. When do we have that as a moment among black men? No wonder your children don't respect you. Ray Lewis, you can go to hell. Because you've given up, and there's nothing about you to respect. Your personal life to the side, which is pretty damn atrocious to begin with. But, fella, you ain't gave us nothing to respect. We don't have anything respect about you. And I want to see us as black men change that. Right now our children look at us with contempt. And they look at us with contempt because they see the police that we should have stopped. They see the white supremacists that we should have destroyed. They see the white supremacist structure that we should have overthrown. And it's still there. Jason, how can your children respect you when they know that there's somebody who can walk in your house and kick your ass at any time? How can your children respect you?
They're not. That's not going to happen. I'm trying to wonder with our black men, when are you all going to say enough is enough? The youth have spoken. The youth have, yesterday's protest was the youth who have no other way to lash out. They understand we have no economic power. We have no political power, okay? Right now, those kids are acting just like folks in Palestine or any other place else where they are oppressed and they have no political power and no economic power. That is the exact same reaction, okay? Now, I have my major gripe with that black thing that was out there smacking up her son, because one thing about other places, and you know as well, you know, Jason, that, you know, I retired from the military, and I've been and I've seen situations where those women over there of oppressed nations do not snatch up their children and smack them up in the face of their oppressor. They will hand that kid an AK-47 and send them out there to point them guns and shoot at those people that are oppressing them. But no, not here. Okay, the black mammy, because that's what she did. She played the mammy role, okay, on the plantation. And the mammy's role was to sit there and keep the young bucks in line for Massa. And she did her job perfectly. That's why they're all skinning and grinning on the news.
Six kids. I mean, obviously she's sitting on a welfare check. You were in the military, you've seen it, and you said it absolutely correctly. In Palestine, in Libya, in Iraq, you would never have an Arab mother sit up here and tell her children, you stop giving them Israeli soldiers a hard time. That would never happen. And I will go even further, Jason. I will go even further than that. You saw me put up the story about, I want to say it was named Megan Sheehan.
Yeah.
Megan Sheehan. She's a white woman in, they say she's in San Francisco, and she got beat up by the BART police out there. The same ones who killed Oscar Grant. Exact same ones. She got her face busted open on video, on body camera. On body camera. She got her face busted up. They just cleared the officers, by the way. The police department said there was no wrongdoing. By the way, show me where Gloria Allred and Gloria Steinem are to go out there and say, you white men need to stop. Show me where they are. Gloria Allred will grab every hood rat, slut, whoever got laid on top of by a pro football player. But you know that she's not taking Megan Sheehan's case. She's not going to help any white women to go after white men. She's not going to help them to do that. And the real reason why that boy got slapped by his mother and these white men are sitting up here just laughing and tee-heeing about it, brother, is because we don't have an infrastructure in place yet. Let me say that one more time. We don't have an infrastructure in place yet with which to punish her kind. And right now she's betting her life. She's betting every one of her chips in this world against black people. She wants the situation to stay the way it is. And, brother, she better pray it never changes. Not in her lifetime. She better pray it never changes. Because the first chance, once you have a new infrastructure in place, her kind are the first ones you go to. Because they've made it clear, we would master. And it's like, okay, you're off code and you're going to stay there. But in white society, that doesn't happen. You will never see a white woman smacking her white child for disrespecting a black man. Let me say that one more time, y'all. You will never in your life see a white woman go ham smacking around her white child for disrespecting or attacking a white man. Michael Slager gunned down Walter Scott. And what did Walter Scott, what did Michael Slager's mother say? She was like,
she backed him.
She was like, I haven't even seen the video, but he's a good cop. Now, if she sees the video, you think her answer's going to change? No. She's like, I don't need to see the video. He just did it to one of y'all. That makes it okay automatically. I don't have to do anything. I ain't got to see nothing. There's nothing to see. It's one of you. Just one of you. No, you're never going to see them go ham on each other for attacking us. Black folk want to sit up here, and what she was doing that to show out for the invisible white person on her shoulder, because she knows that was going to get back to the white press and that somebody would come talking to her. Does she have to offer? She gave up her vagina a long time ago. Ain't nobody checking for that.
And what's amazing is that incident, which I, to be honest with you, was good because it really showed you all those people, black people that supported her. Oh my goodness, it was It was unbelievable how many black people, men and women, were all clapping. Yeah, she mom of the year. That's really? A baby maker with six kids.
It was in the Washington Post. They had one of their Negro bedwinch writers in the Washington Post talking about this woman was mom of the year. Mom of the year for attacking her son. So I guess that makes Ray Rice man of the year.
Exactly.
I guess that makes Ray Rice man of the year. Yes, Mona.
A parent is supposed to lead by example. Now, I knew from the time my son was in preschool that I was never supposed to discipline him in front of white people. And if he got out of line or he got into some trouble and they called me up to his school, starting from preschool, and told me what his offense was, I told my son, let's go, son. I never disciplined them. I never disciplined my son in front of white people. And they were appalled. I think he hit a police officer's daughter one day. I said, what did she do to him? Because my son does not hit first. Well, she hit him. I said, okay. Well, you're not going to do anything? Not in front of you, if I do anything. So this lady out here in Baltimore that physically assaulted her son in public, in front of white supremacists, in a video that went viral.
I'm asking all, Mona.
What she did was she let the police know that it is okay to beat the hell out of our children. Because look at what the mother just done. And this is a perfect example. I'm sorry. This is a perfect example to the reason why we have to know that single motherhood has failed. We have to know that this is not the right way to go. We have to know that a woman is not in position to raise a man. Now, a few years back when they murdered Trayvon Martin, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, I couldn't do anything. But there was a protest here out in California, 5 minutes away from my home. I knew nothing about it. But my son's, one of his friends told me, they're protesting at the courthouse. I immediately got up and started putting on my clothes. Although I don't believe in protests, I was too close not to go down there to see what happened. So my son saw me getting dressed. He said, Mama, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting dressed. He said, you going down there? I said, yes. My son looked me in my eyes. I caught eye contact with him. He looked at me for a long time, and he shook his head, and he walked out the room. I continued to get dressed. Now, when I got to my car, my son and two of his homeboys was out there waiting for me. They said, what are you doing? No, I asked them, what are they doing? They said, we're rolling with you. This was a perfect opportunity for her to see that her son is trying to stand up and be a man. She was out there with him, like Jason said, until she seen that camera op. Then she acted a goddamn fool. She should have been out there with her son side by side, and there should have been a Q&A right then and there on the spot. Why are you here, son? What does this mean to you? Those types of questions, and you need to watch your back. You need to be aware of your surroundings. Now, this woman sat up here, she said that she was trying to shield her child. He liked to be in the streets. You have failed. My child was never in the streets. I have always lived 5 minutes from my job and 5 minutes from my school, from that boy's school. If he can get in trouble in 5 minutes, he deserved that. That's how you shield your child. My child was not a victim to the streets, even though I was a latchkey child. And I was a single mother. She ain't shielding nothing when she had five more kids.
Well,
she's not shielding anything.
Even worse than that, do you remember when she said that she did not want her son to become the next Freddie Gray? She didn't want her son to become the next Freddie Gray. Please tell me, what was she doing to prevent that from occurring? If you're not stopping the police, how the hell is that preventing that from occurring? And second of all, let me tell you to the dumbasses out there who are congratulating her for this nonsense, did you notice who was congratulating her? Wolf Blitzer, Scott Pelley, Notice how the white national media latched onto that video. You've never seen them show a video like that of a white mother. They had the white guy at the grocery store who smacked his son and knocked him on his ass, and they wanted to put him in jail and everything else. But a black woman does that with her son, and all of a sudden it's okay. Could you imagine a similar video like that of a white woman doing that to her kid, and the white media talking about how great that is and how wonderful that is? When you see that you are a black person surrounded by nothing but white supremacists and white interests, and they are all congratulating you for something that you did to another black person, hey, stupid, that's supposed to be your first clue that you're wrong. Ain't none of them got your best interest at heart. When you are surrounded by white media figures and all of them are telling you, hey, attaway, girl, you go, girl. What about what you did to something you did to your children? That's supposed to be your first damn clue that this was the wrong thing. Well, I guess it only counts to a person who's actually thinking.
Would I be wrong to say that she'll probably get a nice camera in her face on Mother's Day?
You know what she did? She put her son on Front Street. She bought into the stereotypes that our children are thugs when she said, I don't want him to be the next Freddie Gray. So you bought it, you labeled your son, you put him on Front Street, and now they know exactly where to come get your son from. For you put him on Front Street. And then you have the article, and it was saying that we wish you could have all better mothers. All the mothers should be like this. That's some bullshit.
I mean, who is she to try to tell anybody about being a good mother? Been raised by half the hood and got six kids. Who the hell are you to be? That is what qualifies to the Washington Post for Mom of the Year. It lets you know, and it was a black female who wrote that article, by the way. It lets you know what kind of black person you have to be to get a job at the Washington Post. That's what it shows you. Jason, I'll let you have the last word.
Let's keep up the good fight, people. What we are doing is literally, we have literally changed the national conversation. White supremacy is pulling all the stops out. They are calling in all their reinforcement coons, and there are people that are out there saying exactly the terminology and phrases that we have established as far as coonery, white supremacy, you know, buck dancing, whatever. We are out here. We've changed the national conversation. It's no longer, people ain't buying, going out there and saying, oh, let's just vote. People are holding Obama to task. People are holding the new Department of Justice to task. The mayor is on the hot seat up there in Baltimore. Other people all over the country that have sold us out, the clergy have sold us out, they are on the hot seat. America is shook. They've awoken up the monster. We're up, coming out. We can't be stopped. We're coming. Black first.
Thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight, brother. We're having a few audio difficulties with Blog Talk, but we will persevere here, of course. Let me try this again. Caller at 910. You're on live with the Black Channel. See, they've got that taken care of. They keep having some issues there. We'll have to come back to them later. We're coming up on the end of our time here. I want to see if I can just try to grab as many people here as quickly as I can. Caller from 336, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hi, yes, this is Tony. I'm calling from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, what's your name again?
Tony, T-O-N-I.
Hello,
I'm
Hello,
in
Tony
the chat room. I'm Caramel Black in the chat room.
And what's on your mind, sister?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say, as far as Ray Lewis is concerned, I don't understand how he can say that young black people can't dictate what we do when in the 60s and the 70s, when the civil rights movement was going on, we had the same issue as far as their parents telling them the same thing, that young people can't do anything, but we are the ones that are changing the dynamic of the situation, even before Mike Brown and even after Mike Brown, we've proven that. But my question is, I had a question for you because my difficulty in my search for the truth is that I get hit a lot of times on my social media by people that always, by other black people that confront me and basically I almost feel like I'm ganged up on, because it's like when I come to sites like yours or Tariq Nasheed, I see like-minded people that are on the same page with me, but it seems like the majority of the black people that are on my social media and others that I've seen as well, it seems like we cannot get on the same page as far as them understanding white supremacy in general, because a lot of them don't even think that white supremacy is real. And so my question is, how do I convey to people the severity of white supremacy and the danger of white supremacy to our community?
You do not. See how easy that was?
Mm-hmm.
How old are you, Tony?
27.
Okay, you're 27. Ray Lewis is about the same age as me. He's 39 years old. 39. He ain't part of the civil rights generation. He's not, 50-plus years old or older. Ray Lewis is my generation. So that's why I have no mercy on him. He's one of my peers age-wise. He's got no excuses. None. None. He came up after the civil rights generation. The average age of a Black Panther was 17 years old. I know I had Freeman and Farr on my broadcast. I don't talk about the Black Panthers. I talk to the Black Panthers. And we had the same problems back then. Not with the older generation, Tony. Understand that, okay? Back in 1963 and 1960, baby, the problem was not the 50-year-olds of that time. The problem were the 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds. Because Malcolm X will tell you, when he would go talk to the news media, they'd find some black man same age as him. Some coon would jump up saying, they doing all this militant talk and, things is all right like they is. We talk about the 60s like they're the bad old days, but Malcolm X was surrounded by a bunch of black folk his age talking about everything's okay. Bull Connor on a rampage. Lincoln Rockwell killing Negroes all over the place, and most of them were telling Malcolm X and Medgar Evers and Stokely Carmichael and even Dr. King, sit down, y'all causing trouble. Even Dr. King, the same white folk today who were talking about want to invoke Dr. King's name every time you turn around, those are the same people back in 1960 who were saying that he was a troublemaker. The exact same one. All of a sudden, the only thing they want to talk about is, Dr. King told you all to get yourselves killed and don't defend yourselves. That's what they mean by nonviolence. Dr. King said that if you get killed, you're not supposed to defend yourself. Isn't it amazing that Wolf Blitzer never talks to fellow Jews and says that when the Palestinians bomb you, you should be nonviolent? Isn't that very interesting?
Right. It's the same theory as white people telling, like, you don't see white people outraged on, not at least not on television, you don't see white people outraged telling other white cops not to kill us. So why do, as black people, we feel the need to attack each other and tell us not to riot and not be angry as if we don't have the right to be angry?
I mean, but understand, they think they're protecting, black people live in a fantasy world, and the folks who are talking to you crazy, they are talking to you in their own mind that way. They've got a little white supremacist on their shoulder that's watching them 24/7, so they're talking, that's what I mean when I said months ago that black people are institutionalized. And if you met anybody who's been in jail for a lot of years, you realize that once he gets out of jail, he keeps the same routine that he had when he was in prison. He folds his sheets the same way. He keeps his clothes the same way that he did when he was in prison. It's like, brother, you ain't got to do that no more. At nighttime, he turns out the lights on the dot at 8 p.m. Brother, you ain't got to do that no more. You're not in prison anymore. But he's institutionalized. He's institutionalized. So he's acting as if prison guards are still watching him and monitoring his behavior, even though he knows for a fact there's nobody there. So in your case, sister, understand something. The Black Channel was not set up for the purposes of converting people. I'm not here to wake no damn body up. If you saw Trayvon Martin and didn't wake up, you are not asleep, you're dead. If you saw Walter Scott and you still don't acknowledge this is a race war, you're dead. I'm not here to wake you up. I say what I say because it rings true with a certain segment, and they know that, hey, that guy's on the same page as me. I'm not here to get other people on the same page as me. I'm here to gather the ones who are already there. Everybody else who's not, to hell with you. You sit there. You sit there and you just wait. But I'm not here to draft you. If you think that cooning and buffooning and praying and everything else is going to be the path to salvation, you keep it up. But I'm not here to gather you, because sticking with people who do not accept the reality of our situation right now, Tony, that will get you killed. Eric Garner was not militant. Not beating up on Eric Garner, but Eric Garner was just the average black man from the streets. He didn't think that that day was coming. He didn't think that he needed to build an economy. He didn't think he needed to hook up with other brothers and do that. He didn't think that it would cost him his life until the day it did. Walter Scott, 56 years old, up to 50 years old, spent his life cranking out kids, didn't build no economy, waited until he got into his 50s to start getting his life together. He didn't think that he needed to build an economy. He didn't think that his life would depend on it. He didn't think so.
Right.
He said to himself, right, hey, I'm just doing me. If I leave them alone, they'll leave me alone. Who y'all militant niggas is? Until the day they came for him. So while I'm not happy about what happened to him, and of course we should object to it, you need to understand that I wouldn't have argued with Walter Scott then to get him on the same page with us. I wouldn't have argued with him then, and I won't argue with anybody today. If you don't understand that Walter Scott, Rekia Boyd, Renisha McBride, Trayvon Martin, Mike Brown, Eric Garner, Akai Gurley, Tamir Rice, Sean Bell, Oscar Grant, Amadou Diallo, Abner Louima, to be totally honest with you, that was terrible in its own right, by the way. If you don't understand that Freddie Gray and all the others, do you realize how long I was sitting there naming names? Do you realize how long I was sitting here doing that? And that's not even all of them. That's not even
right.
Close. Now, if we don't understand that that could have been any one of us, if you don't get that right now without me saying anything to you, if you don't already know that, then there's no use in me talking to you. You're a lost cause. I'm here for Tony.
Right.
Tony gets it. Tony needs a support system so that she don't fall in no damn coonery. But I'm not here to, quote, wake up the people around Tony. Y'all Negroes just sit right where you are. You sit there and buck dance with Ray Rice. I mean, Ray Lewis. You sit there with him. You do that. You do you. And just understand, I'm not arguing against the police for them. I'm arguing with the police for you, Tony. For somebody with some sense. For my kids. For my nieces. For my nephews. I'm doing this for them. I'm not doing this for the people who are still, that there's some debate going on in their mind. The folks who are telling themselves there's still a debate happening. I ain't here for them.
I have one more question, but if you had time. I wanted to get your opinion about, as far as, I mean, I understand that how the white supremacy corrupts the media, but I wanted to get your stance on how you feel about the fact that they do not, when you talk about Rekia Boyd, they do not broadcast hardly, if at all, any stories about the black women getting killed out here as well. And I'm not trying to discredit Black Lives Matter. I'm not a black feminist by any means. Because I'm pro-black, period, man or woman. But I just wanted to see if what your opinion on was it, as far as, do you think that they purposely put out the stories of black men and not of black women on purpose, or is it just, you know, they're not interested, nobody cares?
They're not shielding them. No, I mean, the stories do get reported, and it's not all the stories of black men getting killed to get reported either. It's really the most egregious or the most provable that are being reported. But understand something, sister. When you got all these black feminists out here running interference for white supremacy, it makes it easy to kill all of y'all. It makes it very easy to ignore black women being killed. When you got the Jamila, whatever the hell her name is, Jamila Lemieux, and Toni Morrison and the rest of them, sister, you are, as black women, you have to understand it's not white women who are gunning y'all down. It's white men. It's white men. And when you got Beyond Black and White and Crystal and Karazine and all these people making a living off of telling y'all to go swirling and stuff like that, don't you know that they are the ones who allow the media to ignore your death? Because they are telling the white male power structure that they can do no wrong. So, of course, if a white male kills one of you, they're not going to jump up and say something. You just look at the Washington Post. You can be mom of the year if you slap a black male, but we ain't going to say nothing about slapping a white one. The same Negro bedwinch writer in the Washington Post cheering about slapping a black male, she won't say two cross words to a white one. So don't you know how easy it is to kill her? At least with the black men, we raise hell when somebody kills one of us. You show me the black females in the press who raise hell when that happens. You show them to me. Tell me who they are. Goldie Taylor, Melissa Harris Perry. Show me the black women who are raising hell about that. And here's the other problem. You're not going to go anywhere if your men don't do it. Because as black women, you can't defend yourselves. You can't. Mm-hmm. If you are going to be defended, it's going to be the men who do it. That's it. So if the men are compromised, you are automatically compromised. It's not going to go any other way. You are helpless if we are powerless. So if you want to know why it's so easy to ignore black women, it's because it's so easy to kill black men. You see, it is the men who go on the offensive. It is the men who exact justice. It is the men who are the warriors. But when you got black women out there slapping their 16-year-old warriors and saying, don't do nothing, don't you know that if his mother gets her brains blown out tomorrow, like Rakia Boyd did, don't you know that there was a riot for Freddie Gray? There will not even be somebody cracking an ice cube for that boy's mother, for Toya Graham. If she gets herself killed by the police tomorrow, what did she just demonstrate by her actions with her son? Do nothing. Say nothing. The only reason that we're talking about Freddie Gray is because black folks are mobilizing in Baltimore. In the case of Toya Graham, it won't even be that. It won't even be that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why, sister, you aren't going to, there is no black, remember black women. It's not there. And it's never going to be there. That's this diversion. You never see other groups letting you play that game with them. White women getting the brakes beat off of them by the police. You don't see them saying white women lives matter. You don't see them going after the white male power structure. You notice that? You don't see these white women. Megan Sheehan said a lot of things, but she didn't say they did as a woman. This is wrong. You notice she didn't go after white men. And there's not an attorney who's going to help her do that either. Black women are living in a fantasy world as a group, and it makes it easy to kill them. And I'm saying we have to stop that. There is no black life that is worth losing. But we have to understand, we have to stop the strategy that's at play. The strategy that is at play is not going after black women. There have been a handful of black women killed. A handful. We have scores of black, it's practically all black males being killed. And they're doing that because if you can subjugate the warrior class, automatically submitted. So we have to treat this, we have to recognize the strategy and fight the strategy. The people who are trying to get you to play that gender game, those are the people who are trying to distract for white daddy. They're hoping that there's a trinket in it for them. Don't fall for it. You're already on code. You're already on page. If the men are helpless, you're a sitting duck. You ain't going to go fight no cops, Tony. Let's just say it like it is. You ain't going to go fight none. And if it came down to shooting, you ain't going to do that either. You're not.
I don't know. I'm from Atlanta, so we get kind of gangster in Atlanta. But I mean, no, you're right. I wouldn't personally do that, though. No.
What? That would be a nice idea, but I don't think that our salvation can be dependent on that, because any military on earth will be paying you military on earth would pay you to march into battle led by your women and your children, with the men sitting in the back. Let's not get in our feelings. Any military on earth will pay you to march into battle like that because they know they can't lose. If you're going to survive, it's going to be your men. It's going to be your men. And that's
right.
Why they want you to separate from the men, because they know that if the men show up, you done called dogs down. They know you've called the thunders down. That's why they want you separated from the men. Now they can just, there's only a few black females being killed, period. That's the first thing. It's not so much as being ignored, it's just the number is minuscule. But of the ones who are being killed, you don't have a black media structure in place. Everybody's trying to be a model on a white network. So no wonder you're so easy to ignore. I want that
right.
to stop. I want that to stop. Because the black women in the media, they ain't going to say nothing about it. Why? Because they don't identify as black women. There was a line that Jesse Lee Peterson said when Tariq Nasheed debated him, where Jesse said, "I'm not a member of the black collective." Okay, but he spends day and night talking about black people. But he says he's not a member of the black collective. That's a schizophrenic.
Right. that was the craziest interview I ever heard.
Well, guess what? Oprah sees herself the same way. She doesn't see herself as a black woman. She just says that for political purposes. Take a look at her daily life. Melissa Harris Perry, Goldie Taylor, Jenna Lemieux. The list goes on. They don't see themselves as black women. So the black women that you do have in the media who would press their bosses to cover this, they ain't going to stick up for you. They're trying to figure out how they can be the next Olivia Pope. They don't give a damn about you being dead. You don't have any black women in the media who are advocates for other black women who are killed. You don't have any. You got Jews in the media who will advocate for Jews in Israel. You've got white women in the media who will advocate for white women if something happens to them, feminism and whatnot. You don't have any black women in media who advocate for black women. You don't have it. That's why the media doesn't talk about you. Even when you die.
Can I say something?
Yes, Mona.
I just want to say, you know, it's very dangerous when we try to separate ourselves from our men. And like Jason said, we're not, you know, taking anything away from the black women that are being killed. But here's the thing. The reason why it is more important to broadcast through the media the death of a black man is because that's white supremacy claiming a victory. If they kill off our black men, what legacies can they leave? What legacies can they leave? I'm sorry. If they kill off our black men, what warriors can they reproduce to fight the system? So it's very important that they kill our men, because without our men, we don't have any children. And without our men, we don't have any protection. And without our men, the male children that we raise will not be brought up in the proper way to fight against white supremacy. So that is why it is so important for them to say, "We got another one."
Understand something, and Mona has made a great point. Tony, if you kill a black man, it will frighten 100 other black men. And it will frighten 1,000 other black women. When you kill one black man, it frightens 100 men and 1,000 women. Because the women say, of course, it's logic. If that's what they could do to the males, how easily could they do that to me?
Right. And in turn, I'm sorry.
I'll let you have the last word.
Okay, I was just going to say yes, and in turn, it ruins, I think that ultimately is what is ruining the black infrastructure, our family infrastructure, because it makes it pretty much like keeps us separate from each other, like Mona was saying, and not only that, but also once you take the black man out of the family, it also doesn't give us what we call the head of the household, because we say that the man is the head of the household, and once you take the head off, you know what I'm saying, the body is useless. So with that being said, I just appreciate you guys allowing me to be on your show tonight, and I appreciate you even having this platform, and, you know, I hope that you continue to hold this platform, because we need you, and we need more like-minded people like you out here.
Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. If you're not a member of my Facebook group, the official Jason Black group, you definitely need to join. Stay in touch with like-minded
black
people.
Oh, I'm following
you.
I'm following you on that and YouTube. I got you.
That's where you need to be. Thank you very much for joining us, Black First, as always. I'm going to try to zip through a few more phone calls here if I can. Caller from 408, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 408, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 408 has been abducted. Caller from, let me see here. I had somebody who wanted to speak to me. I'm seeing him on here. Okay, we'll have to come back to them. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's take, caller from 434, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 434, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 434 has decided not to check with us here. Let me get caller from 646. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, you're on live.
Oh, hi. How you doing? I'm calling. This is OGO in the chat room. I'm calling live from New York City, and I'm actually in a rush, but I just wanted to call in. And, you know, it's just been a lot going on through my mind, and just like any other black person's mind, you know, in America and in the world. And, you know, just like you guys, I'm disgusted, you know. It's just so much going on, and, you know, about what you said about the civil rights movement, the generation, they're a bunch of cowards, you know, and I'm not just talking about just saying it just because you said it, including, you know, people like in my family too, like, you know, my parents or, you know, all living aunts and uncles, you know. I was looking at Al Jazeera today, and I'm looking at this black lady crying on TV, talking about because she works at CVS, they burned down the CVS. And she's crying. She's worried about her job, losing her job, because this kid's burnt it down and they looted the place. And I'm just like, is that what's going on through your mind, you know? It's crazy, but, you know, I just wanted to just...
Black folk will get out there and cry over a CVS that you don't own.
Yeah, she's there crying and stuff, talking about I lost more of my job and stuff.
Okay, but she'll be the same black female who will give you crappy service at CVS.
Hell yeah, yeah. You know, it's crazy. I just know.
She'll be the same neck rolling wench, won't look at you in the eye, rings up your order wrong, gives you a bunch of lip and attitude.
I've had that. Yeah.
Rat to the dance register, and they'll be talking to you like they were just the model employees, and yet none of us have ever met a model employee walking in Walmart. But
exactly.
And all of a sudden, it's, oh, my little job. Oh, I love working there. Why they had to do this here? It's amazing. Why is it we don't see that every day from you, then, in your attitude and how you behave? Get the hell out of here.
Brother, I see that every day. I mean, I live in Harlem, so I see this every day. Like I said, you know, what's going on in Baltimore is going on in every other city. And, you know, it's interesting because I wasn't born in this country. I am black. I wasn't born in this country. I'm from Nigeria. Well, you know, like, I've had relatives from my country tell me what's going on in this country. Like, why do the blacks in this country let this, you know, stuff go on? You know, why don't they fight back? You know, but, like, I try to, they don't really understand what's going on, the politics and the racial elements. Some of them do, some of them don't, but it's really frustrating, you know. Even some of my friends on my friend list, you know, I've had friends on my friend list. Some of them, I really get in the picture, like, they see what's going on, and some of them, they just choose to remain silent, you know? It's just, I don't know, it's just frustrating.
Understand, in the 21st century, silence is no longer annoying, silence is...
It is no longer an issue. You can't be silent, you know, what's going on. You know,
today, you're just going to die quietly. That's all that means.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
Move along here because I got to try to get in as many calls as I can. But thank you very much for giving us a call here today. Please call us back. Let me try to get caller from 240. I'm going to try to get two or three more calls in here before this thing cuts me off. Caller from 240, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Yeah, this is Sam Pitt again from North Carolina.
Okay, what's your name again?
Yeah, Sam. This was Sam Pitt from North Carolina. I got cut off earlier.
Okay, Sam Pitt in North Carolina. What's on your mind, brother?
Yeah, I was just finishing my point from earlier. I was talking about exactly what you were saying earlier about the Black people scared to talk on the issues. They got that little white supremacist on their shoulder. And I had an experience like that this week. I was talking to a friend of mine in a laundromat of all places. And there was a white guy. He was like, the person who fixes the stuff or something like that. And, you know, I was passionate about talking about Black empowerment, talking to him. And, you know, he didn't seem as interested. But as soon as the white guy came close, he was like, he kind of nudged me. And he was like, hey, man, hold on. You know, there's a white dude right there. And I'm like, I looked at him like, whoa. And? I mean, he didn't have any, you know what I mean, emotion while I was talking about Black empowerment. But he went real passionate when he wanted to make sure that this white guy didn't overhear me speaking about Black empowerment. I mean, that's Black people are just scared. And this was a regular guy.
These are the circumstances that simply expose the cowards. Understand something. White supremacy does not create cowards. That is one of the great lies that we as Black people have generated amongst ourselves. White supremacy does not create a coward. White supremacy exposes a coward and reveals your coward. It does not create any. If you're not already a coward, it's not going to be an issue. It's not going to be an issue.
That's true. Absolutely true.
Well, thank you very much for getting the call here tonight. Please do check with us again here. I'm going to try to get another couple of calls in here if I can. I'll probably try to just get one or two more before I wrap it up here. I'll probably try to get just one more. Let me get a caller from 702. You've been waiting a while. Welcome. You're live on the Black Channel. Caller from 702. I can hear myself back there. Okay, 702 is AWOL. Let me get caller. Oh, I hit the wrong one here. Well, anyway, caller from 843. You're on live with the Black Channel.
This is Tobias calling out of Phoenix.
Brother Tobias calling in from Phoenix. If you're on speaker, you probably want to take it off. It's got to sound like you're calling from a soup can, and I know you're not using the track phone.
There we go. Am I better now?
All right, what's on your mind, brother?
All right, I was just looking, and I did this on purpose. You know, I post on stuff. I don't really talk much on my social media pages about stuff. And I got all these likes and everything. As soon as I criticize the president, not that many likes from Black people. Black people refuse to hold the president's feet to the fire. He will not condemn the killer cops, but he will condemn Black people who are acting out. Now, I don't think these riots are going to mean anything unless they build businesses in their own economy. But still, at least condemn these killer cops. Because let's be honest, if someone slapped up Bruce Jenner right now, he'd be all over talking about how bad that is. Or this mayor.
If Walter Scott had been gay, Barack Obama would be all over. If Akai Gurley were gay, he'd have been all over it. If Rekia Boyd were a lesbian, he'd have been all over it. I don't blame Barack Obama because he's gay, okay? Barack Obama being gay does not bother me. I think we can all admit at this point, okay, he is. All right, fine. I don't hold that against him. What I do hold against you, whether you're gay, straight, white, Black, green, is that when my people are being brutalized and you are defending it and enabling it, now we got a squab. Now we got a beef because that is what will not be allowed. But as Black people, here's the problem, Tobias. As Black people, we have a penchant. Look it up. We have a steady habit, a habitual behavior of electing the very people who can't wait to sell us out.
Uh-huh.
Obama, it doesn't matter. We could say that we got hoodwinked in 2008. We could say they hoodwinked us in 2008. Brother, everybody and their mama saw what Barack Obama was by 2012. You had already had incidents by then. Trayvon Martin had already been killed. Floyd Davis had already been killed. Well, you've been with me the whole time. You saw me doing the broadcast about that. I was calling out since day one. He sat silent through a whole bunch of people.
Kids.
If those weren't enough to show you what the truth is, you just don't want to see it. But we see it everywhere. Take a look at Michael Nutter in Philadelphia, Kasim Reed in Atlanta, Ray Nagin in New Orleans, Adrian Fenty in D.C., Stephanie Rawlings Blake in Baltimore. Every black city we keep electing, Kwame Kilpatrick, Bing, who came in after him. We can go down the list. The Morials in New Orleans. We keep putting people into positions who clearly are not working with us or for us. We keep doing that as a group. And as long as we keep electing our own poison, you can forget about living. And the white supremacists see that we keep electing people whose purpose is, first of all, we keep electing people who they chose. That's the first thing. Black folks saying something. If the black people that you're putting into office got a bunch of white folks smiling behind them, that's your first clue something is wrong.
Uh-huh.
That's your first clue. Now, that's kind of hard to register for black people because black people have in their minds that life isn't good unless there's a bunch of white folks smiling at you. So that one's going to be a particularly hard one to overcome. But that's why we need a code, brother, so that all the people who are off code, you got to go. Plain and simple, you got to go. We're going to do like these other folks do. We're going to carve out a little old broke-down piece of part of town for you. Y'all can stay over there in your housing projects, and the police can just run buck wild on you since you decided that that's how you want to live. But you can't be allowed to hold the rest of us down anymore.
Yeah, and I was talking to like a friend of mine, and they were talking about like solution. I was just like economic empowerment, money, and that was like. And I told them about how Ferguson, those people didn't cost that much money for them to run. And it was like, man, and I said, look, find 10 black guys in these hoods. Look down their feet. That's how you look. That's about the amount of money they spent. And these Jordans run $200 a pop. And you mean to tell me that people don't have money to give? But yet, people still want to complain about it. Because right now, look, all those politicians you name, they're all Democrat. Black folks, Democrat, they don't call you nigga to your face that they like you. But when have they set one policy? Better yet, your black President Obama, black people, y'all keep saying he can't do nothing based on Republicans. But 9 days after his first inauguration, he signed a Lilly Ledbetter Act for white women to get equal pay. Oh, he didn't include black women. And by the way, white, look at the BLS quality reports every quarter. The white women make more money than black men. But he won't bring that up either when he talks about wage equality. But black folks keep championing him because he takes pictures with Michelle Obama. He wears fly gear. He spits some slang and shoots some basketball.
Well, like I say, brother, this is where a leadership class comes into place. You can call it the talented 10th. You can call it 5%. Or you can call it whatever you want to. Black society needs people like us to be a leadership class so that we can set the agenda for black society as a group. Because these other folk, brother, they will march off to the gallows. They will march off to the gas chambers singing, I will trust in the Lord the whole time there, all the way there.
Yeah.
And here's the difference, Tobias. I ain't planning on joining you. I'll let you have the last word.
I'll say, make the last word, two quick points. First, black folks love Game of Thrones. Look what happened when Ned Stark got killed. They went after Jaime Lannister. He didn't kill him, but he was part of the family. Peep game on that. And look at Ray Lewis. All these NFL guys, he's talking about what these folks should be doing. What if, I think he still lives in Baltimore. What in the hell is stopping him or many of these other black athletes from building some stores? Because I say this real quick. Out here in Phoenix, former basketball player Dan Marley, white guy, not only he owns a restaurant, he owns a real estate group, the Marley Group, like a land development group, and they got buildings all over the place, his name on it, and he's getting money from that. So what are Ray Lewis' excuses then? He ain't putting nobody to work. He just worried about his ESPN job. And that's all I have today.
Thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight, Tobias. Ray Lewis was sitting in that room looking like a bum. He was sitting in that room looking like he got dressed in the dark. He was sitting in that room like looking like he had gotten his clothes from a homeless shelter. That's how he came to talk to his people. Go on, y'all, go take a look at that. If you're not a member of the Jason Black group, the video is in there. I'll post it on YouTube, post it on Facebook a little bit later so you all can see it. Ray Lewis came to talk to his people dressed like a bum. His clothes were tattered and everything else. He came to his people dressed like a bum. Now, when he goes and speaks in front of whites, he comes in dressed dignified. He comes to talk to his people looking like a bum. And let me just say something else tonight. Ray Lewis, you ain't got no people. After what you did, you ain't got no people. This is something that should mark you for life, that you had the gall to sit up here and try to make yourself, you're going to run interference for your employers against black people. You don't have a people anymore, Ray Lewis. You get the Halle Berry treatment. You get the Montel Williams treatment. You get the Tiger Woods treatment. You get the Bill Cosby treatment. When you pull a stunt like this, that's what you get. You don't have a people anymore, Ray Lewis. You're out there by yourself. It's not going to happen on my clock. It's not. That's the other thing, by the way, you dumbass. It's not going to happen on my clock, stupid. It's supposed to be, it's not going to happen on my watch. And it's not referring to a wristwatch either, moron. It's referring to your sight, where you're seeing. It is not going to happen while I am on watch. God, and I thought Flava Flav was the dumbest black man who could get in front of a camera. I didn't see Ray Lewis coming. If you're going to sit up here and preach it, people, buddy, at least get your metaphors correct. It's not going to happen on my watch. It's not going to happen on my clock. It's not going to happen on my... What time is it? 4:15? I'm gone. A whole lot of people are going to find themselves disinherited after this event. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future. The future is uncompromising. And it's time to choose.